51% of American adults have been fully vaccinated.
But the U.S. is under pressure to do more on a global scale. This is Monday, May 31st, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, a new coronavirus variant in Asia. A growing cluster of infections in Australia lead to a strict stay-at-home order. You'll hear from the family of an American journalist being held in Myanmar. And a change in official reaction to unidentified flying objects. It's all on today's VOA Asia. President Joe Biden hailed increased vaccination rates at home, but the U.S. continues to be accused of not doing enough to fight the pandemic around the world and is under pressure to come up with a global COVID-19 strategy when Biden meets with heads of other advanced economies at next month's G7 summit. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has this report.
COVID shots are easy to come by in most parts of the U.S., including the subway station in New York. Vaccination rates have also been boosted by creative incentives, including state lotteries. This 22-year-old from Ohio won $1 million just for getting her jab.
Plans, I'm probably going to invest most of it.
On Friday, President Joe Biden celebrated the country's fight against COVID.
Now, 51% of American adults have been fully vaccinated. 75% of seniors fully vaccinated.
But his administration is under pressure to do more globally, including to shore up commitments from the world's leading economies at the G7 summit in June. Jenny Ottenhoff is Senior Policy Director for Global Health at the One Campaign.
It's going to be pretty much the first moment at this stage in the pandemic, when rich countries are beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel, to show unequivocally that rich countries are going to stand up and help put this pandemic out globally. If they don't make that statement at the G7, I think they've missed a huge opportunity, and I'm not sure what the future holds.
Global pandemic recovery will be a focus at the G7. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told VOA on board Air Force One this week.
What is happening now behind the scenes is that there is an internal policy process to determine how we can do that in an equitable and transparent way. I know you are all eager to know where they are going and what our process will be. We certainly understand that. We hope to have more soon.
The most immediate concern is addressing the global vaccine inequity. United Nations agencies have noted that by the end of June, COVAX, the UN mechanism to distribute vaccines to middle and lower income countries, will face a shortfall of 190 million doses. This is partly due to delivery delays from the Serum Institute of India as the country struggles to address its COVID surge. The world must also get ready for the next health crisis. Alex Long is a global public health security researcher at the Wilson Center.
The next pandemic is either right around the corner in terms of decades, years, months, weeks, days. So if we don't iron out a process for every single notch in the chain up until and including vaccination right now, we're going to be caught flat-footed the next time this happens.
At the World Health Organization, countries including the U.S. delayed until November negotiations to create an international pandemic treaty. Proposed by the European Union, the Global Framework Convention on Pandemic Preparedness and Response seeks to ensure countries' political commitment to fighting future pandemics. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
Authorities in Vietnam have detected a new coronavirus variant that is a combination of the Indian and UK COVID-19 variants and spreads quickly by air. That according to the health minister. Emily Withers reports.
Authorities in Vietnam have detected a new coronavirus variant that is a combination of the Indian and UK COVID-19 variants. The country's health minister says it spreads quickly by air and has described the hybrid variant as very dangerous. After successfully containing the virus for most of last year, Vietnam is grappling with a spike in infections since late April. Quoted in local media, the minister says the authorities will announce the name and detailed characteristics of the newly discovered variant soon, saying lab cultures show it is much more transmissible than the previously known types. He said that could explain why so many new cases have appeared in different parts of the country within a short period of time. The World Health Organization has identified four variants of COVID-19 of global concern. These include variants that emerged first in India, in Britain, in South Africa, and in Brazil. Officials at the WHO did not immediately respond to a request for comment regarding the new variant identified in Vietnam.
Reuters' Emily Withers reporting. Vietnam's business hub, Ho Chi Minh City, will begin social distancing measures for 15 days starting May 31st in an effort to curb the spread of COVID-19. VOA Asia continues. Record numbers of COVID-19 vaccinations have been completed in Australia as a snap 7-day lockdown continues in that nation's second most populous state. 7 million people in Victoria are subject to strict stay-at-home orders after a growing cluster of infections was detected in recent days. Australia has managed to mostly contain the coronavirus through lockdowns, the closure of its international borders, and strict quarantine measures for returning citizens. But the national vaccination program has been beset by supply issues and hesitancy among many Australians. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
There are estimated to be 100 active coronavirus cases in Australia, according to the health department. About half are in Victoria, which is under a 7-day lockdown. It's the state's fourth shutdown since the pandemic began. The number of infections in Australia is small compared to other countries, including Japan, Brazil, and the United States. However, community transmission of the virus has been rare in recent months, and the outbreak in Victoria is significant. There's been complacency in the community and mounting hesitancy about vaccines and possible side effects, which have delayed the national inoculation plan. Health authorities in Victoria, though, have said the lockdown has sent residents flocking to injection centres across the country in record numbers. However, some experts believe that it might be too late to prevent another wave of infections in Australia's second most populous state. Dr. Michelle Ananda-Raja is an infectious diseases expert at Melbourne's Alfred Hospital.
We've been here before. I think, though, that the stakes are higher this time because we have all the factors for what is essentially a perfect storm. We have a largely unvaccinated population, we have winter approaching, and we have an unforgiving variant on the loose at the moment. You know, Victoria is primed at the moment for a third wave, and we need to do everything possible to prevent that from happening.
Melbourne, the Victoria state capital, endured Australia's longest COVID-19 lockdown last year. Once again, the nation's second biggest city finds itself under tight restrictions. Masks are now mandatory. Places of worship and schools are closed. Victorians can only leave home for essential work, shopping, exercise, caregiving, or to get a coronavirus vaccine. Businesses are facing heavy losses. A man infected with a highly contagious COVID-19 variant, who stayed at a quarantine hotel for returning travellers, is thought to be the source of the outbreak. Australia has recorded just over 30,000 coronavirus cases and 910 deaths since the pandemic began, according to government statistics. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Authorities in India said Sunday the country will have almost 120 million COVID-19 vaccine doses for domestic use next year, a significant increase from the 79.4 million available for the month of May. India has inoculated with two shots only about 3% of its 1.35 billion people. The Malaysia government has announced it's planning to open more so-called mega vaccination centers as that country marked a new daily record of COVID-19 infections. Thank you for spending time with us on VOA Asia. Myanmar's military arrested American journalist Danny Fenster last week. VOA's Isha Sarai speaks with his brother about Fenster's work and the family's campaign to bring him home.
When Myanmar's military overthrew the government in February, American journalist Danny Fenster was well-placed to cover it. For the past 2 years, the Detroit native has worked for the local outlet Frontier Myanmar. But on Monday, he was arrested trying to leave Yangon.
I woke up early Monday morning and had a bunch of messages from his wife, Juliana. I couldn't get in touch with her because she was trying to take care of business and see what was going on. And I was able to talk to a coworker of his at Frontier Myanmar who kind of filled me in. And I mean, as you can imagine, I think we're still in shock a little bit, honestly.
As the military cracked down on protests over the coup, Fenster kept in regular contact with his family in the U.S., letting them know what was happening or if he needed to be out of contact.
This isn't a secret that the military would literally hunt people down, go to their homes, kidnap them. So a lot of reporters were staying in safe houses. Their families weren't safe in their homes. So, I mean, we're grateful he was at his desk. We feel for all these other people.
The United Nations says Fenster is one of over 80 journalists arrested by the junta.
The arrests of journalists and the violence used by the military on anyone caught trying to report or record their actions constitute an extraordinary attack on freedom of expression in Myanmar.
A Japanese journalist who was detained twice in Myanmar before being deported called on his government and the international community to hold the military accountable.
There are many things which I was asked by Myanmar people to report to the world. Going forward, I would like to report those things to people in Japan and many other countries.
Journalists and their loved ones across the world have underscored the importance of a free press as Myanmar continues to crack down on reporting.
He cares deeply about people, about truth. About the press. So, naturally it brought him there to do what he's doing.
Since February 1st, the military has arrested 4,000 people and killed 800, rights groups say. But with media also under attack and journalists arrested, it is becoming harder to know what is happening in Myanmar.
First and foremost, we want my brother home immediately, safe. But there's a larger... He's part of a larger thing happening here. Journalism is not a crime, right? They're the eyes and ears for all of us, for the world. And it's a threat to democracy everywhere, for sure.
Isha Sarai, VOA News, Washington.
Now on VOA Asia, videos of Navy pilots pursuing flying objects with amazing capabilities have struck a nerve in Washington. Matt Dibble looks into the latest UFO mystery.
When it comes to UFOs, U.S. officials are typically tight-lipped. But that is changing.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. My gosh.
In this video, taken from a U.S. Navy jet, we hear crew reacting to what appears to be a craft flying at high speed and in astonishing ways.
Well, if there's like a thing, it's rotating.
The video comes from a covert Pentagon task force established in 2007 and charged with collecting and analyzing encounters with what are now known as Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, or UAP. After three videos were leaked and posted online, the Pentagon confirmed in 2020 that they are authentic recordings made by Navy personnel. The disclosure has officials at the highest levels of government treating UFOs with a new urgency and openness, including former President Barack Obama, who had this to say on The Late Late Show with James Corden.
There's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. We can't explain how they moved, their trajectory.
The Pentagon is expected to issue a report soon, providing Congress and the public with an analysis of UFO data from multiple government agencies. It's been 70 years since the Pentagon opened its first UFO study. In recent decades, there has been little official acknowledgement of the phenomenon, though sightings have continued. Matt Dibble for VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Jim Stevenson, Amy Heibels, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman.
Enjoy your day and stay safe.